Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're live here at a Roll Factor in Montreal here, and we have Jonathan
Jacques Bellatet. I am the creative director and the art director on Hell Is Us.
Mm. You should get closer to the mic.
Yeah. Oh, you have yours there.
Yeah, I
was trying to hold it a bit.
Very close.
Yeah. For both of us.
It's all good. So yeah, for those that don't know about Hell Is Us, tell us a little bit about the game.
So Hell Is Us is a action-adventure game, very much in the tradition of old-school adventure game, right? So it sounds a bit cliche, but if you think about like Zelda, Link to the Past and things like that, where it's like, often people ask me, I can't really put my finger in what kind of game it is. Well, it's just that. It's an adventure game. You know, you got fighting, you got exploration, you got mysteries, you got things to discover. We're not telling you much. Just go out and explore, figure things out. It's very much about harsh subjects, right? There's a civil war going on. It's about emotions. It's about this concept that a lot of human atrocities, barbarism, violence comes out of, you know, emotion and passions and things like that. It's very much in each one of us that under the right circumstances, we all have this capacity to do atrocities inside of us. And history seems to kind of prove that, sadly. So these are kind of like the main themes. And so you're within this country in the grips of a vicious civil war. There's also a calamity because you need monsters to hit on. And that's it. You need to kind of elucidate what's going on in there.
Yeah, the first time I got to see the trailer, a couple things. I thought it was going to be a horror game at first. And then another one, I was like, oh, it's a soul-like pirate game. So I know that probably a lot of people still think that way, right? So you had to make a correction. I remember in the beginning of the presentation, like, look, this is not an action adventure.
Yeah, it's an action adventure game. And also, I mean, you know, after almost 15 years of Souls-like games, let's say since the first Dark Souls, right? I mean, Demon Souls counts, but I guess what I'm trying to say is like now people have everybody has different opinions on what is a Souls-like game, you know, and it's sometimes it's just diluted to it's like, oh, they see a health bar and a stamina bar, and it's like, that's a Souls-like game. This Souls-like game is a lot more than that. It's a whole thing to the gameplay loop. The fact that when you die, you lose most of what you've acquired, necessarily the item, but something has to be lost when you die, right? I truly believe that's part of the, and also the way that the fact that, you know, if you come back, all the enemies have regenerated or respawn. I mean, stuff like that. None of that is present. The combat is more mid-core. We're still tuning it, right? We're in beta at this point. The combat is still probably has a little too much teeth still. We're still gonna, there's a lot of difficulty settings in the game. You can fine tune it to your liking. But yeah, we want it to be a lot more permissive than a real bona fide.
And the character
Dark Souls like
the main character Remy.
Yeah,
we could tell us about Remy.
So the game takes place in a country called Heidea. It's a hermit state. So think about something like North Korea or the USSR back during the Cold War behind the Iron Curtain, right, where it's really hard to get out of the country for the people who live there or move or enter the country for people who live without. Remy's from there. He was born there. But his mom smuggled him out when he was 5 in order for him to have a better life. He grew up in the foster care system in Canada, had a pretty rough upbringing like they often end up having in a foster. It's not the story of every foster child, but a lot of them. He's always wanted to come back because obviously he's been abandoned by his parents in the sense that he understands as an adult that she did that for him to have a better life. But child abandonment is one of the worst trauma that a child can have. And he's got this irrational need to find him and almost confront them about what they did to him, but he can't get a visa to enter the country. When he's part of the Canadian military, they're always at the forefront of the peacekeeping missions. in the world from the United Nations, the blue helmet peacekeepers. So when the civil war breaks out in Haiti, he sees his opportunity. He's already part of the Canadian military, and he's like, I want to be transferred to the peacekeeping mission. And he's sent there, and here's his chance to infiltrate the country. Right, he goes AWOL one moonless night, and then he's in the country. But then he realizes there's a lot more than just a civil war going on, and how is it tied to the hermit state and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, he's a very reserved guy. He's very introverted. He's got, as opposed to the theme of emotions and all these emotions boiling in the country, creating the civil war, Remy is the opposite. He's almost like a high functioning sociopath. He's got really, really, a low, like, emotional thing going on, right? He sees people a bit as tools and stuff like that to use. He's not an evil person anyway. He's not a psychopath either. People sometimes confuse sociopath with a psychopath, but he's kind of like on the mild side of the spectrum as well. But there's a character arc attached to that, which is quite interesting. And he's got really nice, big, curly hair as well.
Yeah, I noticed that too in the beginning. And I also have a question about the person he was talking to in the beginning, right at the beginning of the
game. Oh, yeah. Interrogator.
We'll talk about him in a minute. But we got to play the game for 3 hours. I know one of the last part of our hands-on was the dungeon. Now, my question is the dungeon, is that an optional thing to do, or that's something that you need to do as part
of it? So the dungeon that you saw is part of the critical path, is part of the main story, so you have to do it. Okay. Because of the way that we we had a save already prepared for you to be in that dungeon in the Limbic Forge, it must have felt a bit out of place. And what is this place for? Why am I here? Is it just for loot or this or that? But it's very much ingrained in the story. Obviously, when you get there through the story, and not just through the save game, you kind of understand why you were looking for that place, why it's so important. It also becomes a bit of a nexus in the game. I don't want to spoil too much, but it's a very important place.
So typically in action adventure games, there's bosses, and we're going to get to see that. I didn't get to see that during my hands-on. I only got to see enemies there was a lot of different types of enemies, and some of them were really challenging too. So are we gonna get to see
did you finish the dungeon?
No, I didn't have the time.
So there's that's fine. It's there's definitely a boss at the end. So we're a small team, right? We just the game was depending on the time period, was designed by developed by 50 to 54 55 people. There was no outsourcing whatsoever, except of course the actors, for the voice actors
and translation.
Thank you. We didn't translate the games in 12 languages ourselves, but apart from that, it's all in house. Even the actors were recorded in our studio, in our sound studio. We did our own mocap as well. So we wore a lot of different hats. Where I'm going with that is bosses are expensive to do. Like, bosses are notoriously hard to design and design well. And they're a huge time sink to really balance properly. They need all sorts. They're exotic. They need different gameplays often, sometimes, and things like that, right? So we do have some, but right from the get-go, we decided to put our money in other aspects of the game that were more important to us. Now, this being said, there are some, and also, at each of these salient moments, like at the end of dungeons and other places in the game, there's always a very specific event that's challenging, that's different than anything else you've seen in the game, that you need to pass in order to continue. And as far as we can tell, quite fun to achieve as well. As far as getting into 25 different places in the game where there's like this gigantic dragon that's specific, there's not 25 of those. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
You
know? Okay. Yeah. Good to know. So the person they got to talk to in the beginning of the game, I know when I died multiple times, by the way, he was also talking to me again, like, we're going to start over. Yeah. What's going on in that?
So,
cause I don't know much about that part of
the story. So the idea is, the game has already happened. Okay. You're obviously.
So I'm telling him the story.
So as you play, you're telling the story. Okay. So you're being interrogated, and that's what he says it is. So when you say the guy you talked to, Remy, right? Because you saw it in the cutscene. You haven't spoken to him mechanically yet in the game. So you saw that cutscene where you're being interrogated, and then every time you die, you hear him again, because basically, obviously, Remy has never died. he's obviously,
it's not part of the story. He wouldn't have been saying the story.
You know what I mean? He's obviously never died. He's obviously he's being interrogated at the end. So obviously, so when you die, that's when you hear the interrogator say, obviously that's a lie. Start over. Or he's like adjust the because Remy's being drugged with a truth serum, right? So you hear like adjust the dosage, which I find is an interesting take on the snake, you know, Metal Gear, or the you died, and we have our own spin on our death in the game, you know.
And how long you guys been working on this project?
Yeah, 5 years now.
5 years, man. And now
it's too long.
And now it's finally gonna come out very soon. Like, yeah. How's it been, the process for you guys? Like, just everything overall.
Like the whole thing.
No, I'm just saying, like, yo, no, it's, but it's being a small team, yeah, working on a project like this, yeah, you know.
I mean,
for
it's
5 years and now finally people are gonna start,
yeah,
playing it, you know.
Yeah, this is the most amazing feeling, really. I mean, obviously it's filled with dread. I know we've worked tremendously hard. It's a passion project. It's filled with love. It's an honest game. It's filled with atmosphere and stuff like that. Now, as far as is it a good game, it's not up to me to say. It'll be the customers and you guys and everything, right? So fingers crossed, you know, that's where the dread is. You know, you're letting your baby in the wild and see what's going to happen. But it's amazing that we're there. It's also unbelievable because, again, we're such a small team. It's a whole new IP. We started from nothing. Like I like to say, like the way that I see the blank page means, like, it's all the atoms of the universe, and it's which ones of these, you know, everything is made out of atoms. So which atoms are we going to pick to create this game? Which ones are we going to choose? And everything is up for picking. It's a new IP. So the fact that now we're here, and Division's been very consistent throughout, you know, there's very few things that changed. So to see it from zero to now, this is it, is always a very special feeling.
It was always action adventure, yeah, game from the,
yeah,
beginning.
Oh yeah,
it was,
yeah.
Okay, okay.
And the themes and where we wanted to go, this, we were very consistent and persistent.
And why Hell Is Us? Why the title?
Well, because that's the idea. It's this idea that this capacity for debilitating violence, barbarism and stuff like that against people that, again, might have been our neighbors for most of our lives, or for imperceptible differences, or even sometimes invented differences, seems to be amongst inside all of us. Like history is actually like a record of that truth of what I believe is true. And you see it all the time under the right circumstances, under the right, again, the right emotions, the right emotional state, the right societal state. Everybody seems to be up for the challenge. And so Hell Is Us.
All right. Now, I know Remy has a drone, a companion, right? What is it you could do with a drone besides distract the enemies?
Like, yeah.
There was a lot I just didn't have the time to use.
To like, use, yeah, and test and everything.
Yeah.
So there's I'm losing track. There's so much stuff, and you know, it's through 5 years. Even though I'm the creative director, I
lose. And it gets upgraded.
And I'm
too.
And I'm getting older as well. So you know, there's 10 skills, if I'm not mistaken, with the drone. And so yeah, you start by default. It has a diss track, which allows you to diss track one enemy, right, while you take care of another and stuff like that. And it also allows you to have a free shot at that enemy that you're distracting, because the minute that you hit an enemy that's distracted, then he comes out of being distracted, but it gives you like a free shot. So you have like a forward charge where the drone lands on your back and then it spreads up and it kind of acts as like a huge reactor, you charge forward. You have what we call the death from above. It brings you in the air and then you drop down on your enemies. It has a thing where it can literally deflect the hits that come from behind you. So the drone is kind of like acting as a goalie behind you, like ching, 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 ching.
Perfect for like multiple enemies.
For multiple enemies, yeah, and stuff like
it
that.
It can get really challenging. And I also want to ask you about that too. Like, what was it important for you guys to change the difficulty for like casual gamers that want to get into these type of games? Because sometimes companies will release a game and like there's no option to do that. Like, how important was it to make that change?
So if I'm brutally honest, which I think more developers should be, we had never developed you're not the first one. That's not my brutally honest is what's going to come after, because that I've always said it. This was our first ever third-person melee combat system that all of us had ever done, right? Okay. It's not a Montreal specialty. I like to say that. Like in Montreal, the gaming industry is a prominent one, but it's always been more like first-person shooters, adventure games with like combat, but not all that important. Like even the Assassin's Creed, it took like, it's really more with like Origins and Odyssey where the combat started being like properly crunchy and stuff like that. Even for them, it took a while. So we started from nothing. We've developed a certain expertise. We're still learning a ton. Thing is, because it's, you know, we had to learn it all on live as we're developing it, gauging the difficulty properly is hard. It's really bloody hard. And it's connected to so many things, because you just want to change a little thing that you might think that is just, hey, let's make this slower or whatever, faster. But then it's like it's the mathematics behind it. And it's how versus the speed of the weapons of Remy. And then the animators need to make new animations. And so slight changes are actually quite costly and timely. So, so at one point we said, you know what, we probably not going to nail it perfectly where we want the pendulum to be, so let's make sure that we provide difficulty settings that people can play with, right? So we're going to try to get as close as we can to the what we think this base feel should be. That's not too hard, not too easy either, but there'll be a lot of options and sliders for you to fine tune it. And it will be also at the beginning, you can choose to have the quintessential, just tell me a story, blah, 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 you know, like our version of it. But yeah. So yeah, that's what I mean by honesty. And the fact that at one point we were like, maybe the tuning is not going to be as perfectly exact as we wanted. So let's give options to the players to also fiddle with it a little bit.
Now, are we going to get to see some support, like Steam Deck support, handheld devices or anything like that? Have you tried that out too yet?
Or just
PC and console?
So right now, like officially, right, it's coming out on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. But obviously the spectrum is much wider than that.
Yeah.
See what the future entails. But there's a lot, you know, everything's exciting for us. So.
Okay, good, good. And my last one, you don't have to answer this question. Do you think this an opportunity for you guys to work on this on a project like this for, like, let's say the Switch 2 or something like that? Like, do you see an opportunity like that?
In the grand scheme of the universe, I mean, absolutely. You know, mm-hmm.
I see a lot of potential with handheld.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And you mentioned the Steam Deck as well. I know that when you work with Unreal 5, Lumen and the other lighting thing, I'm tired. Anyway,
it's a lot.
Lumen and that other thing is still difficult, even on the Switch too. But I know that Epic's working on it, and obviously we're using that fully in our games. So, the great thing about games and consoles and whatever is that rarely things are impossible. Very rarely. So we'll see. I'm a big fan of handheld consoles myself. So I just received my Retroid 2. It's almost an ad I'm doing.
Oh, nice. But, yeah, right, cool, yeah. Cool. All right, well, everyone, make sure to check out Hells Is Us, the official date.
September 4th, 2025 for PlayStation 5, Xbox S and X, and PC.
PC, all right. Well, thank you, Jonathan.
Hey, thanks, all buddy. Right. It's great meeting you.
All right. Wow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.